Here we are in the third hour of Issues Etc. Open lines for the rest of the hour. I need your answer to these questions. We're walking through this message of Joyce Meyer, today's message on godly submission of women. Why should I listen? I'm a man. I don't see the appeal. I need the appeal of Joyce Meyer explained to me by a woman. Mary already called very kindly, explained the appeal. It functions in a way as therapy, as remedial teaching in the Christian life, she says, although there's nothing distinctly Christian about this. I mean, Joyce Meyer is a Christian, her audience is Christian, but the message has nothing distinctly Christian that you couldn't find from a Muslim or a Jew or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. Really? So what's the appeal? Why should I listen to Joyce Meyer? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Obviously, a lot of listening. Don is calling from his car. Don, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd. At the risk of making this even more confusing, we've talked about the feminization of the church many times on the program. I think her appeal is her masculinity. She's everything that women want in a man. She's strong, rugged, boisterous, at least her mannerisms are. If she was a pioneer woman, she'd have a ranch called the Ponderosa, and her last name would be Cartwright. She's just sort of a...
Miss Kitty.
You know, I think that's the appeal. She's a lot of things that men are lacking.
Don, I never thought of it that way, but now that you mention it, let's see what the women think about it. Interesting hypothesis. Everything her audience wants in a man. You know, look, this is the appeal of a lot of these popular preachers. Why is Joel Osteen so very popular? Well, he's your handyman. He can fix whatever is wrong with you, and his appeal is to women as kind of the ideal man. He sets himself up as ideal husband, ideal father. Why do women just gush over a bald-headed, mustachioed psychologist named Dr. Phil? Because he's everything they want in a man. Is the same true of Joyce Meyer? Is Don right? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Very interesting hypothesis there. Excuse me, clearing my throat. Mark is calling from his car. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for taking my call. I think her title should be, instead of preacher, should be demagogue, charlatan, / entertainer. You know, you can tell by listening to her, it's a song and dance. She plays on the emotions of women, like the caller called in, that, you know, the same type of women to watch Dr. Phil, as you mentioned. If anyone wants to see what her theology of prosperity has met at Joyce Meyer, they should drive down Gravelway and look at her estate in Sunset Hills, where, you know, the land is going for $250,000 an acre. And I think that's what Joyce Meyer is all about.
Mark, thank you very much. I did want to mention this before, and beyond just the lucrative income that she enjoys, and I'm not going to deny her that, her theology is far more concerning. If you go to Bob Liko's website, discernment.org, or is it now discernmentministry.org? It's discernment.org. Go there. He's got some links on the theology of Joyce Meyer that you might find interesting. The one statement that she often repeats always sticks out in my mind if you're concerned about her theology, and I am, and that is she says she's not a sinner. Now, she'll admit to faults and she'll admit to a lot of past faults, but she says she's not a sinner. She isn't. She insists. Now, I don't know what she means by it, but it's an interesting statement for any Christian to make, don't you think? Back to the phones. Barry's on the line. Barry, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Pastor. You know, it's kind of, my comment is kind of general, maybe not directly at Joyce Myers, but I think, and you were just talking about discernment on the website there, Bob Liko has, but I feel like today's people are just not discerning. I got a sister-in-law that I get sometimes a little, it's like anything that's Christian is okay. It's doesn't matter, you know, what they teach. If they say Christian, it's good with her. And I also think that all that has to do with people, with all these the venues you can get Christian, quote unquote Christian, speaking on radio, TV. People can just sit back and listen, and we don't study the way we ought to, the Bible. You know, and I'm finding out that out myself. I thought I studied, but our pastor through a going to be a 40-week study on Philippians. And, you know, what Philippians is four chapters, so it's pretty detailed. But he's teaching us how you should study the Bible. And I think many of us don't do that the way we should. And so it's just easier to go listen to somebody. And if we find somebody, something we like what they say, then we continue to listen.
Barry, thank you. I'm glad to hear your pastor's doing that, by the way. Not only studying a book of the Bible, but teaching his people how to study a book of the Bible. The Bible's very clear. There's a way to rightly and wrongly handle this word of truth. There's a way of reading it where the veil remains over your eyes. The Christless reading of Scripture keeps Scripture closed, even if you've read every word. Paul makes it very clear. Back to the phones. Let's start with Pat there at the top there. Gary, Pat is calling from St. Louis. Pat, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Todd.
Hi.
Yes, as far as Joyce Meyers, there's no way in the world I could follow that woman. And I tell you, I'm in my 70s, and I remember the Now movement. And she reminds me of the Now movement. And if you don't agree with her, she wants no track with you. Anybody can quote passages from the Bible and make it fit into whatever you want. And it seems to me like she has intertwined the psychology in the Now movement with a little bit of the Bible.
What do you think the appeal is to women? Because most women don't feel the way you do about it, Pat.
That's what I can't understand. It seems to me like when the Now movement came out, it was the thing of saying, oh, you're too submissive. You got to stand up for yourself, you know. And like she said, if you don't agree with me, I have no track with you.
Pat, thank you for the call. Am I asking too much, folks, that a Christian minister, let's call her a minister, maybe she doesn't claim to be a preacher or a teacher, but she does call it a ministry, that a Christian minister preach the cross? Is that maybe I'm asking too much? We've been through a lot of these sermons in the course of the last couple months here on Issues, etc., and we have found nary a mention of the cross, one mention of the cross, and it was merely the cross as kind of fuel for your little sterno can, just to keep you going up the hill on your own steam. Christians, I asked that question of Mary when she called in, do Christians need to hear the cross? They do. Christians still have to deal with their sin. Christians are still in the flesh. I mean, we are. Paul says, I know that no good thing dwells in me that is in my flesh. Why was Paul so intent upon preaching the cross? And to people who are already Christians, he upbraids those Galatians for listening to something other than the gospel. He calls it a false gospel. And these were people who were Christians. They weren't people who were prospects for Christianity. They had already begun. They had already, he says, you have fallen from grace. They had been in grace. And he says what they need is the gospel. See what happens when Christians don't hear the cross of Jesus Christ, the message of forgiveness of their sins. When Christians forget their sinners and think they just need to improve their lives now that their lives have been made better. Without the gospel, Christians fall from grace. It's the only thing keeping us in grace, because it is the message of God's grace in Jesus Christ. John's calling from Nebraska. He listens on our sister station, KNGN. John, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Wilkins.
Sure.
You just stole a bit of my thunder, but my point was that just because someone quotes a few scripture verses does not necessarily mean that their message is Christian. The passage that comes to my mind is Satan tempting Jesus in the desert. Each temptation carried a quotation from Scripture. And as far as do Christians need to hear about the cross, of course we do. Once we take the focus off of the cross, where do we put it? Back on ourselves. And the danger there, of course, is that we place our faith in ourselves rather than in Jesus.
John, thank you. Very, very well chosen words. Very well chosen. When we take our eyes off the cross, you know what happens when Christians take their eyes off the cross? They cease to be Christians. The only thing that makes someone a Christian and keeps someone a Christian is the ongoing benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other good news. There is no better news, although you would think from what you hear in the pulpits in a lot of churches nowadays that they've got better news than Jesus Christ and Him crucified to preach to you. At least it's of a higher priority than the forgiveness of your sins. Luther says this, the Holy Scriptures are a book for heretics. That is, they are a book to which heretics most of all lay claim. Well, then, the Bible is the heretic's book, but I will not throw it away on that account, says Luther. On the contrary, I will study and read it much more so that I may know how to avoid the misuse of it. See, that's the real line there. The heretic misuses the Bible. Notice in that account that the caller talked about, when the devil quotes the Bible, he doesn't misquote it. He does not screw around with the words. He gets all the words in the right order, and he quotes it exactly. He knows who he's dealing with. He's dealing with the author of Scripture. What does he do? He misapplies it. He mishandles it. Devil's still mishandling the Word of God. Diane is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I just started listening to your program about a month ago, and I really love it.
Oh, great.
But anyways, I got into her with Joyce Meyer. And I was going to the Life Christian Center up the street here. I live in Afton, not too far, where she went to church. And the bottom line is, I found with her, I was going, they count on people with a lot of problems, which I was going through and still going through. But they teach the health and wealth and prosperity, but it's all centered on you claim it, you name it, and if things aren't changing, then you're doing something wrong. There's sin in your life, and of course, keep giving more money, you know, and then you think that things are going to clear up. And what sent the alarm signal with me, and I don't know if you're aware of, she preaches that, and I've heard her a few times say that Christ had to descend into hell and finish the atonement. That put up the red flag for me, that it made me notice with her, because she does have a charisma to her, and she makes you feel good. She makes you feel like you're not that bad of a person. You know, we all do things wrong. We all have problems and come from things, you know. But if you start donating and just centering maybe towards the church, it's not even centering on you reading the Bible, but listening to her, which all the, like that T.D. Jakes and these other ones on that TBN broadcast, they all are basically the same. They had this charisma. And it's like, you listen to me, and I'm going to show you the way. Not Jesus, but they are going to show you the way.
Very perceptive, Diane. Very perceptive.
Yeah, and I still, and let me, too, add, I still have my same problems. But with me getting into the Word of God and finding the church and going to it, He is helping me through everything. And that's where people want to get by. We don't want problems. We don't want to have not enough money. Who wants to be poor, you know? And that's what they're teaching. You can't be content being average or even poor. Well, yes, you can. If that, and I'm not saying God wants everybody to be poor, but you know what? Whatever point in life we are at, God is with us working his way through it. No matter if you're going to be a millionaire, poor, middle class, whatever, you just got to keep the focus on him, and they don't have you do that. It's you're going to be wealthy, and you name it, you claim it, like that Joel Osteen. They all do the same thing.
Diane, thank you. I still got all my old problems and a lot more on a daily basis. It's called sin. This is the church is a sinner's only club. Jesus says, I did not come to deal with you people who think you don't have sin. I can't deal with you because you don't think you need me. The people who are well don't need a physician. What he means, there's people who think they're well don't think they need a physician. So you don't need me, Jesus. If you are without sin, you don't need me. You just don't need me. Because the only thing he can provide for you that Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura or anyone else can't provide for you is atonement for your sin, forgiveness of your sin. Would that we heard that a little more often, that kind of Jesus, rather than the Jesus who's just trying to help alleviate our problems. When in fact he's already alleviated our problem, the root of all our problems. And that we're not hearing about. Lisa's calling from Central West End. Lisa, welcome.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm so glad to actually be on the air. I just want to talk a little bit. I hope I can say it concisely because that's not my gift. Everyone has their own gift. And I think Joyce's is exhortation to believers. Probably, if you watch the program once or twice, you can find different things in it that, you know, are good and bad. And if you watch it for years, you can find, you know, things good and bad. But the overall is good. I've been a Christian for 24 years, and I think I need to stress that people are people, and it is the grace of God. It is Jesus that changes us. And that's what she focused on, the whole ministry. If you listen time after time and establish a relationship with her and the struggle she's been through, she's like a mother, a mentor that says, honey, life is hard.
Well, okay.
Life is not, but she does give the glory to Jesus. And the reason women listen is because women have such a tie between their emotions versus, you know, the truth of the Bible. And you need to be able to have someone who's walked through things and gone through them. And she says, you will feel this.
Well, what does
she
give?
Your mind may say this.
Lisa, what does she give? You say she gives all glory to Jesus. What does she give Jesus glory for?
For giving her life in Christ, that she's not striving for her salvation anymore. That's above and beyond. And there's,
if it's Jesus, Lisa, that changes us, as you say she teaches, where is Jesus in her daily teaching? Why is he absent?
Well, I think the thing is you have to use your mind as well. And there's so many of us believers that God would just be ashamed to see our conduct in this world today. And
You're not answering my question, Lisa.
Jesus is in her. I have lived my life, and I have preached to people, and they have run away, not because, you know, they're afraid of the truth, but because it's obnoxious. And sometimes you just need to hear the love. You need to see the walk. Did Jesus wear a flashing red sign that said, I'm the Son of God? He came there. He touched a person who needed
healing. All right, Lisa, thank you very much. Lisa, go back to the Scriptures. He did wear a flashing red sign that I'm the Son of the God, of Son of God. It was his blood being shed at the cross. Flashing red sign. His blood. Here is the Son of God. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad it's Thursday, Jeff. Jesus is in her. I just said this a while ago. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for losing patience. I really am. So she's so full of Jesus, she doesn't have to preach Jesus. What if St. Paul said, look, folks, I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then I realized I'm so darn full of Jesus, I don't have to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm just going to touch you. I'm just going to get in a relationship with you. I'm just going to show you that I know where you're at and I've been where you've been and life is tough. What if Jesus himself had done that? What if he would have said, hey, I don't need to preach Jesus because I am Jesus, so I'm just going to walk around touching people. I don't need to go to the cross for you because all you really need is a relationship with me. You just need to know that I've been where you're at. I can empathize with your situation. That's not good news, folks. The only good news is that Jesus has been where we never will have to be, at the cross, dead, because of our sins. Flashing red sign, absolutely. His blood shed at the cross, declaring him to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. There at the cross, suffering the wrath of God that we deserve, where we never have to be. That's the good news, not that Jesus empathizes with us. Look at this. The book of Hebrews says he can sympathize with us because he's been in the flesh with us. But he was without sin. The book of Hebrews doesn't just say we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. Isn't that nice? No, we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens and who has made himself the sacrifice for our sins and borne the wrath of God on our behalf. He has gone where we could not go. He has been where we could not be. And he has satisfied God with his sacrificial death. Maybe I am asking too much. Have we reached this day and age when even with Christians, it is now dismissed out of hand that you need to preach the cross? I've been thinking about this lately because this is a reoccurring theme here on the program. I've been doing it for 5 years. And I'm beginning to wonder, maybe we've just reached that day and age when it's asking too much for Christians to preach the cross. Christians have something better to talk about. They have better news than the good news. They have another gospel. I've never met resistance from Christians on any issue like I've met resistance from Christians on whether or not Christ needs to be preached. Now, they'll all give it lip service. We need to preach, go out and make disciples. But on a day-to-day basis, when you get in the pulpit, when the preacher gets in the pulpit, I've never met resistance from Christians like I have when I said, why didn't he preach Jesus? Well, he didn't have to. He he's so full of Jesus, he didn't have to preach Jesus. Or he didn't have to. There's something else we need to know. There's something more important we need this Sunday. Eric is calling from his car. Eric, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah. I kind of observe some Christian teachings where the people, once they get the gospel, okay, they're done with it. And then they look to, well, what can I do to improve my situations in life? And that's the kind of preaching they get after they're saved or they've gotten the gospel. So why do they need to look back to the gospel again and again? Because they're looking to themselves.
You very, very concisely stated. You know what St. Paul says to that when he talks to the Galatians? First of all, he says, you foolish Galatians. You're abandoning the one who called you in grace. And then he says, you had begun so well. Having begun with the Spirit, are you now going to finish up with your own works? He asks this rhetorical question of the Galatians. Having begun with the Spirit, that is, the preaching of Christ, the message that the Spirit brings, Christ and Him crucified, having begun with God, now you're going to finish up on your own, he says. And he chides them and rebukes them. You know, one of the callers talked about Christian admonition or Christian exhortation. Look, before we start exhorting one another about the Christian life, maybe we should exhort one another about whether or not we're even Christians. Paul says, look, watch out whether you have fallen from the faith. He says, examine yourselves whether you are still in Christ. He didn't say examine yourselves whether you're still improving, whether your life is still on a moral upswing. He says, examine yourselves whether you're still in Christ. Anne's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I totally agree with you, Pastor Todd. There are too many of Joyce Meyers and others and even churches out there now that call themselves Christian and leave out the cross. And if you don't have Jesus and the cross and Him in your heart, you're not Christian. And you're just sort of saying you're not Muslim or some other religion of that kind.
But you might as well be, Anne.
Right. You have nothing if you don't have Jesus Christ. I mean, let's face it, no matter what else you have. So keep up the good work, and hopefully people will listen.
Thanks, Anne. You know, and I can hear it again echoing in my ears. Well, she's got Jesus in her. I mean, it's a very good point, Anne, but I can hear it echoing. She's got Jesus in her. She doesn't need to preach Jesus. She's got Jesus in her. Joel Osteen doesn't need to preach the cross or preach the Christ. He just got so much Jesus bubbling up inside him, he doesn't need to. He can preach for 20 minutes, mention Jesus once by way of honorable mention in his concluding prayer. Sin is never preached. The solution to sin is never preached. People walk out of that church thinking they're Christians. They may or may not be, but they certainly aren't on account of a preaching that leaves the cross out. You know, there's a whole movement in the church nowadays. It's infected every denomination that says, in order to win souls, we preach Jesus less. In order to save more people, we need to provide less Jesus. And maybe that's the philosophy that's at work here. When we come back, 10 more minutes of Open Lines, your calls on these questions. Stay with us.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The basic challenges of raising small children may be simple, but that doesn't mean they're easy. In the Christian home, how do we teach our small children about sin and about their Savior Jesus Christ? How do we guide them in their daily life as a baptized child of God, the life of daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November is called Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. Or, if your children are older, we're offering Faithfully Parenting Teens. You can order either of these books for $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers or Faithfully Parenting Teens.
Evolution. What it is, and what it's not.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the fascinating children's book, The Dinosaurs of Eden. Well, Ken, is evolution, in the molecules to man sense, of course, considered to be science? Some say it is, others say it's not. So if it's not science, then what is it?
Well, evolutionism, the belief that life can be explained without God, is not science. It's mostly a religion. It's a religion that enables people to justify writing their own rules. When I taught in the public school system in Australia, I made sure my students understood what science was, but also what it wasn't. I taught them that real science meant using your five senses, in the present, to do things like build computers, space shuttles, and so on. They learned that science had to be observable, testable, and repeatable. Studying how an organism operates doesn't tell us how it came into existence in the first place. That falls under origin science, and that's not open to experimental verification or observation. When it comes to origin science, you're now dealing with the beliefs of scientists who weren't there at the beginning to observe. You know, sadly, I find that most science teachers only instruct their students in what to think, not how to think. When you teach students the right way to think, they'll easily see that molecules to man evolution isn't science, it's just a belief.
Sadly, many science teachers use dinosaurs to try to prove evolution. Find out what the Bible teaches, as well as real science, when you read Ken's free booklet on dinosaurs at AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. All new televisions come with a V-chip that allows parents to block out shows with sexual or violent content. However, a recent survey found that 53% of parents who own a television with a V-chip do not know that their TV has one. But whether you use the V-chip or not, nothing can replace the importance of monitoring what your children watch on TV. Only if you watch what they watch can you discuss the moral implications of the show with them. Jesus loves your children so much, He died on the cross for them. He wants them to have the best childhood possible. If the V-chip helps you to be a better Christian parent, great. But there is no substitute for loving parental involvement in every aspect of your child's life, and that includes TV viewing. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
There's a congregation whose doors are open for you, right in the heart of the metropolitan area in Ladue. It's Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road, just 1 mile west of the Galleria. Village Lutheran Church is an underwriter of Issues Etc. Their phone number, area code 314-993-1834. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
All right, now for a little godly advice that does not ignore Jesus and the cross. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens, Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. You can choose one of the two. They're $9.99 apiece, plus shipping and handling. Whether your kids are young or getting older, Faithfully Parenting Teens, Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers are our Issues Etc. book of the month for November. $9.99 apiece. Call Concordia Publishing House any day, any weekday during business hours. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, issuesetc.org, and you'll find these two books, Faithfully Parenting Teens or Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for November. When you call or write, mention Issues Etc. It's open lines for the remainder of the program. That's about 10 minutes. Back to your phone calls, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Ann is calling from Crestwood. Ann, welcome. Hey, Ann, welcome.
Oh, Todd.
Hi, Ann.
I don't feel like her message for me was good. First of all, I thought when I first heard her back in the early 90s, I felt I needed to get past her voice first because she sounded like Ma Kettle. And after I got past the voice, I thought that her advice was pragmatic, but it seemed like the message to me was, I'm pious, you should be more like me, you should live like me. My son went to the school that was at the church where she was based out of in Fenton. And the women that were there, the other moms, I think there was a connection there because she was, they all knew her, they worked for her, they were like-minded. And of course, her message was, like the other lady said, it was the Word Faith movement. So she seemed to have the formula because she was very prosperous, the way she dressed, the way she looked, the way, where she lived, what she drove. So she kind of had the answer. And when you're like-minded, the ladies kind of were followers. They were kind of a clique that seemed to acknowledge her, and they were part of her. I never connected out there, but anyway.
Let me see if I can. Now, you sound like you didn't get completely caught up in it. What's the appeal, then, do you think, to women?
I think it's she's successful, and she's one of us. And we're part of something that's bigger because she's such a big success. She's a world-renowned success. And there's an excitement in being a part of that. And also, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it, women are competitive. She's a successful competitor. We're competitive with each other, I think. And I don't know how to explain that. It's just something I've sensed over the years. But I think women are competitive with each other, and she's a successful competitor.
Okay, so do you think that the appeal is the rags-to-riches scenario that she embodies?
I think it is, because if you listen to her, you might be able to be successful, too. She's one of us, and she made it to the top.
Kind of like Hillary Clinton. Thank you very much, Ann. Yeah, kind of like Hillary Clinton. Maybe that's the appeal of that, too. Could be one and the same. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jerry calls from South County. Jerry, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Tom and Todd. William, hold on. We've got a little problem here. First of all, I want to thank all the veterans. Today's Veterans Day for
yes.
their service to our country, and may God protect them and our troops. Joyce Meyer, I never listened to her, but those snippets that you played were very comedy. And I wouldn't bother to listen to her for any biblical instruction, but if you want to get a good laugh that does appeal to women, that's what it's for. Frankly, the Bible should be read for biblical instruction, because the Bible is God's way of communicating his word to us. It's communicating with him. That's the only way we have it. There are some denominations that don't even encourage your parishioners to read the Bible. That is the only way, I think, that we could communicate with God. There are people that speak in tongues. I believe Joyce Meyer says, I don't feel that is biblical. I don't believe speaking in tongues is calling on God at all. There are many things, like the Olstein, he's another, speaks in tongues. I don't think he's biblical either.
Well, Jerry,
yeah.
I think you had a good insight there. Thank you very much. This whole idea that she's comedic. Now, she is, okay, I'll be honest with you, the humor doesn't appeal to me. And maybe it's a woman's humor. There are things that appeal to women. A lot of it is kind of like, you know what your husband's like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know how we are, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And so women chuckle along with this, and maybe she missed her calling. We were sitting there during, I think, probably one of the breaks, and my board up here, Gary, said, Bill Cosby. Why do men love the comedy of Bill Cosby? And women do, too, of course. Because he talks about things we understand, family and growing up and fathers and mothers and our kids. And every new parent realizes, my goodness, just like us, there's Bill Cosby, big, successful guy, television star, world famous, and he's just like me. This is why people flock to Bill Cosby. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's how people make their careers. That's how a lot of comedians and entertainers do make their careers. There's nothing distinctly Christian about it. I asked the question before whether I'm asking too much, to simply ask that the church and those who speak within the church speak the gospel. Now, let me very quickly, before I close up, mention one thing. Wherein, with all the godly advice that Joyce Meyer does offer, she does ignore one command of God. I don't know if she's a preacher or what she is, but she does claim to speak with authority in the church. And Paul has a command to the Corinthians and then later to Timothy about women keeping silent in churches. even those women who say, I just love her advice. Perhaps they would do well to hold Joyce to not just the advice of Holy Scripture, but to the command of Holy Scripture. He says women should keep silent in churches. They're not permitted to speak. Let them subject themselves. That's the kind of subjection that Paul also talks about. Just as the law says, if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. It's improper for a woman to speak in church. This is what we get. We get this kind of appeal, which is, what is the appeal of this woman who stands in the pulpit and spouts godly advice without the cross in it? Should we expect anything less from someone who ignores the clear command of Scripture? Paul says, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, and that would probably include Joyce Meyer, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. He says it's the Lord's commandment. It really is no surprise that someone who would ignore this clear command of Scripture and take unto themselves, basically, usurp unto themselves the call to be a minister in the church apart from God's call. God simply does not call women. He doesn't. Not that women are not called to do other things. Would be found preaching a message that is all full of Bible passages, but so very empty of Jesus and the cross. No big surprise. No big surprise at all. At this point in our year, folks, we have got 69 members of our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. That's our monthly donor program. It's the way that we can partner with our listeners to depend on the steady stream of resources that we need to not only continue to expand the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. 69 members this year. We're hoping for 100 by the end of this year. This thing's been underway for 2 years now, and we're continuing to build on it. Our Issues, etc. Reformation Club is simply three levels at whatever level you choose, the confessor, the apologist, or the reformer, for a gift of $25 a month or a year-end gift of $250. For a gift of $50 a month or a year-end gift of $500, for a gift of $100 a month or a gift of year-end gift of $1,000. We have all sorts of premiums, all sorts of ways that we thank you, tapes, books, transcripts of the show. If you'd like to be a member of our Issues Etc. Reformation Club, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for information there. You can donate by check. Write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. We call ourselves a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, folks. This last hour has shown it. Calling for the preaching of the gospel, and it's too much to ask. You can also donate by credit card. Our resource number, 1-800-737-0172, or as I mentioned before, online at our website, issuesetc.org. We can't promise you success, health, prosperity. We won't even promise that we'll make you feel better. We can promise you that we will continue to preach Christ and Him crucified, and as much as we can hold feet to the fire of those who claim to speak for Christ, that they also preach Christ and Him crucified. Tomorrow on the program, The Church Triumphant, Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Sunday on the program, one of our very best guests, Wesley Smith, of the Discovery Institute. We're going to talk about bioethics. He has written a new book called A Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. That's Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. We'll hear from you Sunday night, I hope. That's Sunday night, 10 to 11, 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. We'll talk about bioethics with Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.